Hey folks, Chris McLean back again. And today in the studio, I have with me Justin Christensen from Conversion Fanatics. And they're a service, They're a full service conversion rate optimization company helping companies like Burt's Bees, Snow, NBC Sports, Dr. Axe, and many others improve their results. Christian's also a father, husband, and the number one best-selling author of Conversion Fanatic, How to Double Your Customers' Sales and Profits with A-B Testing. Excited to get into all things split testing, A-B testing, conversion rate optimization. Christian, thanks for dropping by the show, mate.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure. So take us through, how did this work? I was like to sort of start at the start with these things. How did Conversion Fanatics, how did you become a fanatic about conversion rate optimization?
Yeah, well, my digital marketing career started 20 years ago. So I've been in the game for quite a while. Found affiliate marketing, moved up the ranks through that into information publishing and direct response. And the biggest thing that we ever did was we just split tested stuff, even before there was software to actually do it for ourselves. And, you know, with that, we win. And we were able to grow and scale and, you know, really advance average order values and do a lot of cool things. And when I sold that company, I guess it's 11 years ago, I started a small consultancy, basically doing that, implementing, setting up landing pages, doing kind of the stuff that I had published about at our previous company. People just asked me, could you do that for me? Had 10 or so clients that I managed with me and just kind of an outsourced designer. And then partnered with my longtime friend, and now business partner Manish, who had a small team and he had systems and processes in place, basically doing the same thing. And we each threw $750 in a bank account and said, what if we can come, you know, what can we do if we put this to an idea? So we started out teaching it and nobody wanted to learn it. They just wanted us to do it. So we fast forward 7+ years ago, we're now big staff and worked with several hundred companies, you know, some notable names and some not so notable names, but some exciting brands doing some exciting stuff. But yeah, it's been quite the journey.
Yeah. I mean, it's like split testing and A-B testing is one of these things that is super, super important for digital campaigns and online. So that's where you get the iteration and actually get to understand based on what the prefers, right? Essentially, that's is that the essence of why someone would want to? Maybe take us through for people that don't know, anyone that's out there that doesn't know what an A-B test or a split test is, and what is that, and why is it so important?
So when somebody says conversion optimization, they immediately think split test. When split test is just the vehicle that we use to prove or disprove whether we're right or not. Whether our assumptions are correct. And in marketing, assumptions kill. So if you just assume something's going to work, you're a coin flip away from whether you're right or not. I've ran tens of thousands of marketing experiments and I'm wrong all the time. It's just at what level am I wrong? And how often am I wrong? But really what it is that's it. It's just rather to prove or disprove whether we're right or not. Is that button color matter? You know, does that headline matter? Does that image matter? Does that flow matter? Does the price matter? Does shipping matter? Does all of those things, do they care about social proof? Do they care about, you know, all of those things that really make them tick? So optimization in a nutshell is just figuring out what the visitors like and dislike and figuring out what holds weight in their eyes. And then you can use that to kind of create a better journey and experience for those visitors to get the long-term growth. And if you create a better experience for them, they're going to convert at a higher rate. They're going to spend more money. They're going to come back more often. Your cost per acquisition is going to be lower. You know, customer support complaints are going to go down. You're going to do all sorts of the fun KPI metric improvements. Not that the button color just raised or lowered the conversion rate. You're going to have a bigger lasting exponential growth cycle on a business.
Yeah, so it's super, super critical stuff for anyone to be doing that is running any kind of an online funnel So any sort of online campaign, we're trying to take someone from an ad to a landing page or a sales page down into a some sort of a purchase, whether that's a course or a program or e-com. Do you work with any particular industries, or is it sort of across anyone that's running any type of a digital offer?
So I love this question for many reasons, but if you sell to people, then the answer is yes. So many times people get hung up on that, meaning they get hung up on the fact that, have you optimized for a certain industry? And my answer is always yes, because at the end of the day, we're all dealing with people. Doesn't matter if you're a B2B business generating a lead, they have their pain points, they have their problems, they have their buying decisions, they have all of those things. And at the end of the day, it's just figuring out what makes those people tick. And there's only so many ways to slice a demographic. Either you've got males or females, and you've got, you know, ages breaking down from 18 to 65 plus. So it's really, those inputs and outputs are all the same.
And when is there, what's that process of starting to split test something? Where, again, this might be variable depending on the client. Where do you sort of come in to a client? Are you purely that they've got something existing that they just want to see, is this optimized? Is this the best it could be? And then you'll come in and working through that. Or do you also sort of work on that pre-setup? Here's the strategy. Here's how you should be setting things up pre-optimization.
Where we typically come in is 30 plus sales or 30 plus leads a day and more. Because then it would just take forever to optimize if you didn't. A split test would run for 6 months. So pre that, we usually give them guidance and suggestions. And that is typically a qualitative approach instead of a quantitative approach. I just gave some feedback to somebody this morning. They're like, well, I scaled back ads and we were getting 4 or 5 sales a day, and now we're getting 1 or 2. And I'm like, split testing is just not cost effective for you. So I gave him some tips and tricks on, like, here's the 6 things I see missing. Here's the questions you need to ask. Here's the methods you need to go about it. And that'll usually take them leaps and bounds from 1 or 2 sales or even 10 sales to the holy grail of 25 sales or plus, because it's easy to go from 25 sales a day to 100 sales a day. Very difficult to go from 4 or 5 sales a day to 25 sales a day. So it's kind of the different approach in there. But yeah, usually when we come in, they're usually humming along pretty well.
Yeah. Is that a problem that you see with people where they're starting to, you sort of see this with automation and systems where you sort of do them too early, and we sort of, you know, you're automating a vacuum, you're automating and systemizing something that isn't quite working yet. Do you see that with your work where people, as I said, they've got 1 sale, 5 sales, 10 sales, and then they're starting to split test everything and they're breaking down the headline and the button color, and they're they're doing that too early, and it's, as you said, it's kind of too early to tell because the numbers just aren't there yet?
Yeah, so people get led to false positives all the time. And if you're not patient in split testing, you are going to absolutely tank your results. I mean, you can get lucky, but I see oftentimes a test will be running for a day or two on volume that it'll show a 30, 40, 50% improvement, and you give it a big enough sample size and it'll lose by 10%. So people, they rush that process. And I think that even early on, you rush that process, because if you're basing it on 1, 2, 3, 10, 20, 30, 40 conversions and calling a winner, you have zero statistical significance there. So your chances of a false positive or false negative are about 90%. And literally a coin flip. So that's why if you're doing a qualitative side and you're doing cohort on that low volume, like, make one change, say, you know, if it was me, and say we're talking about a funnel, a traditional like direct response lead funnel, I'd test 100 headlines, and I would just test headlines till I'm blue in the face, because you can learn more from headline testing than you can literally any other type of test, because you can insert different benefit statements, you can insert different angles without changing your entire marketing message. You could just change one simple headline or a subhead and figure out what really drives your visitors. You know, we've done this in the past where you know, companies have all this scientific proof and everything, and it comes down to one key benefit that, you know, is the simplest is in the process. And to your point on automation, yeah, I mean, I see people overcomplicate things every single day. You know, Shopify and ClickFunnels and all of these things that make it so simple to set up, you know, give me 2 hours and I'll have an e-commerce store set up with product.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's not hard. But then you get into, you know, there's a plugin for that, or there's a solution for that. And then now all of a sudden site speed is a mess and you've got 55 bugs you got to try to decode. And I see it way too often. And the basics of marketing haven't changed in my entire 20-year career. You know, it's just simple. And I, the older I get and the more I do this, the simpler I get and the more, and the grumpier I get with people trying to over automate.
We have a tendency to like to, I think this is just a life thing. We tend to like to complicate things because somehow that feels productive, or that feels like things need to be complex and difficult, or the more complex they are, the more intelligent. There's something, there's a an odd play between complexity and, you know, we if it's too simple, it's that's too easy, you know. So there seems to be a weird balance between that. And I'm sure that probably shows up a lot in what you're doing.
There's a lot. And it's funny. I'll look at, say, a brand doing $100 million a year in revenue. And I have one in mind. I'm not going to say the name, but for confidentiality. But they do well. They're a leader in the market and a very competitive market.
Yeah.
And their site is so simple. Like, I mean, their backend infrastructure is so simple. And then I look at a site doing $1 million a year and they've got 60 plugins and apps and pop-ups and things going left and right and movement and trying to just game the system. And you don't need to game the system. If you do marketing right, you have a good product, you deliver it in a good way, and you treat your customers right. And that's really how optimization has gone. It's less about the go, 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 sell, promotional stuff. And it's more about creating a better experience. And the better experience you can make it for your visitors, the more word of mouth you're going to get. And, you know, we live in a very social world. Nothing's hidden. So that's how I've kind of switched and approached it, you know, from a brand equity perspective. And I just think, just keep it simple. And I say that far too often, probably.
Yeah, I can imagine. So just to kind of take that point and go sort of 40,000 foot view, how much does that, as you said, fundamental marketing principles definitely apply to business? How much of conversion rate optimization and the optimization they see, as you're saying, comes from brand, comes from that more, that higher level brand service, they said, having a great product to begin with? How much of it starts there before you kind of get into the weeds and the minutiae of button colors and headlines and the tactical technical side?
Well, I think it all kind of ties in together, because I mean, the tactical, you still need to figure out how to best deliver. And really, it comes down to friction at that point. I don't care if you're Coca-Cola, you're Burt's Bees, you're Clorox, you're any of these amazing brands, or you're some no-name, you know, basically no-name company that comes in. If you still have a great product, you have some social proof, you have some credibility, and you have some trust factors, all we got to do is just lead those visitors down the path of least resistance. It's the same principles. It's just some are allowed to get it a little easier and scale a little quicker because they have some brand equity, or maybe, you know, they get an influencer that drops on Instagram or something that, you know, drives a whole bunch of credibility and trust to the brand that somebody else might not have. It's just looking at those inputs and outputs, but it all comes down to friction, and it's add, remove, change, rearrange stuff to alleviate friction. And sometimes removing stuff doesn't alleviate friction. It's sometimes you need to add something to help get them there.
Yeah, and again, I think that applies to life, you know, mm-hmm. add friction, remove friction. If we think in terms of something like habits, right? We want to stop ourselves doing things that we can add friction to stop a bad behavior. We can remove friction to ease something that's a positive part of the journey. So that kind of is essentially a lot of what you're doing, right? You're sort of looking at where are the sticking points, where are, what's stopping somebody from taking that next click or pushing through the card versus where are we already, what's working and how can we do more of what's already mm-hmm. working and apply that to the rest of the funnel or other products.
Yeah, and what's funny is when we come in to start an optimization plan, oftentimes we're going in and we're just hiding stuff or we're rearranging stuff right. or we're, you know, mm-hmm. doing that. And everybody looks at me like, Justin, you're nuts. Like, this is simple. Why are you doing this? Like, and I'm like, just trust the process. Like, it's like, we don't do this mm-hmm. just because.
Yeah.
But oftentimes we'll see these simple little things will move the needle biggest. Like, say you've got a product that's $500 or $1,000 and you've got a quantity selector and you never sell more than one of these products at a time. What's the point of having a quantity selector and how much weight does that actually prove out? You know, one of the tests might be simple as hiding the quantity selection and then taking it from there. You know, it's really, it doesn't have to be that complicated if you're asking the right questions. And the question is almost always why. That's, I ask the question why of literally everything. Why are they clicking on it? Why aren't they clicking on it? Why are they watching the video? Why aren't they watching the video? You know, why aren't they taking the upsell? And if you ask that question enough and you ask it not only of your tests and your test results, but you ask it of your visitors in polls and surveys, you are going to get the answers that you're looking for.
Yeah. Okay. That was my next question. How are you collecting that user feedback and polls and surveys? You're literally going directly to the customers. And so where's that balance between going to the customers and literally saying, hey, here's a poll, here's a survey, how was the experience? That sort of quantitative side of things yep. versus the qualitative, you're tracking clicks on the screen, you're using sort of heat mapping software or something like that too.
So they go one in the same. You know, qualitative is going to feed your quantitative. Yep. And if you ask, we ask exit polls all the time. Every split test has its own heat map. We're always trying to gather that information because if we have to second guess the quantitative data, then we have the qualitative to support it. Like, right. for example, when we get done with this interview, literally in 15 minutes, I have to call, I'm hopping on a call going over some of that qualitative data with the content team of a large brand that's mm-hmm. trying to create a better journey through their content. And it's just simply an exit poll that asks them, what questions didn't we answer for you today? And they're going to tell us, you know, very quickly, right. You know, what that information is. You know, we don't always like the answers, but it's crucial.
Yeah. Man, that's the accuracy, right? Asking somebody, what was your experience clicking through my website? That's going to give you a pretty clear indication of what that experience was. And if you get enough of that feedback, you might not want to hear the answer, but that's going to give you the thing that you need to fix. So getting that feedback super, super important rather than, you say, kind of throwing darts in the dark, hoping things stick.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and that's what a lot of people get frustrated with optimization is they think they need to go and they need to test 100 things a month and they need to constantly be doing and just go, when the fact is you could probably get better results, longer lasting results testing 5-6 things a month. You know, and splitting it out and gathering the right data. And that's where the patience comes in. If you have patience in it and you let the data be the guide, you're going to win the long game versus just spraying and praying.
Yeah. Yeah. So what does that patience look like? If somebody was looking to start doing some of this stuff on their site, two part question. How long or how many visits, how much data do I need or what sort of length of time am I looking at? Again, in general, if you had to sort of generalize this stuff, because I realize it's always quite specific to a specific problem, but if you had to generalize, how long should I be testing something?
So totally loaded question, as you know.
Yep.
But the answer is it depends. But the real answer is we look at multiple different data points. Visitors doesn't matter to me as much as conversions matter to me. What's the goal you're measuring? I usually don't look at that data until I've got about 25 conversions per variation. I try to keep it to an ABC model, typically, most likely an AB model. We'll look at trend in the data. If it's showing positive and trending well after a few days and say maybe it's got 50 conversions on it, then I'll let it run longer. And I want to let it run for at least a calendar week.
Right.
Average test length is probably 10 days.
Okay.
Some tests run for 3 weeks. Some tests we cut after 3 days. It just depends on what that data is telling us. But if you, it's got a 60% loser and you've got 60 conversions on the variation and it's been 3 days, chances of that coming back and winning are none. So, you know, you might want to cut, learn what you can, move on to something else, iterate and expand. So, you know, there's definitely, you know, not every test is going to reach statistical confidence or statistical significance.
Yep.
You know, we ran tests at 8,000 conversions and it'll never show statistical confidence on it.
Right.
Just because it's a null result or it's just not a big enough swing. So we need to,
right.
you know, reevaluate and relaunch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. You want to give it as much time to get some kind of significance to say, look, I can see that this is going one way or the other, but obviously much better to have an expert who can read those trends, right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone who can read the chart and say, look, I feel like this is where this is going. On the other side of things, if you, again, to massively loaded question, if somebody was looking to do some of this stuff, where we sort of talked about headlines early on, where are the top, if you had to put a top five or a top things that you see the most, the biggest wins coming from, what are those components for people?
So if we're talking direct response funnel-ish type stuff, then I'm talking headlines, calls to action, social proof, form fields.
Number of form fields for like email versus
number
name
of form
and email.
Fields. Yep.
Yeah.
And it's even what questions you're answering in that, if it's a long form. And then benefit bullets. Everybody leads with features. Nobody cares about features. Everybody cares about benefits. So, and then on e-com side, it's almost always a product page issue. So we'll generally start there. Sometimes it's not, but usually I would say if I had to guess, it's there. And honestly, most of the time that is just maximizing above the fold of the page, particularly on mobile. That's, you know, reducing thumbnail images, moving the reviews up, making the button sticky, making it obvious, the selection, quantity selections, and, you know, highlighting the key benefits like money back guarantee and warranty and all of that fun stuff, which can be about 10 tests in and of itself. So that's probably the biggest thing. But the number one report that I typically look at on e-com is shopping behavior under conversions, under e-commerce. And that'll tell you exactly where the drop-off points are in the journey. And that just kind of puts our focus on it. And it's, if you think you have an abandoned checkout issue, chances are you don't have an abandoned checkout issue. You have a engagement issue leading up to checkout. They don't just magically get to the checkout and bounce, because contrary to popular belief, free shipping is not a big lever in a lot of cases. In a lot of markets, free shipping doesn't matter.
So it's more about a disconnect between what I expected and what I'm now getting shown.
Yeah, or they just give up on selling and continue selling and reinforcing that buying decision. And it leads up. If I have an abandoned cart or abandoned checkout issue, I'll almost always start at the front of the journey, because unless something's broken on the cart. But if you create a better experience, get them engaged in that shopping experience and set the expectations ahead of time, the shopping abandoned checkout, abandoned cart stuff becomes an ill point.
So in terms of, I guess, the if you looked at it in its overview and you sort of just mentioned it there, essentially what I'm looking for, if I've got my funnel mapped out, I'm looking for where does it stop? Like where's the drop off point? Is it people are hitting my landing page? Some are going, then they're going to the sales page and they're dropping off there. They're not converting through to the next piece. And then that's where I want to start. I want to find out where that first friction point is that they're stopping. And then that's where I want to start first and try and to essentially move the needle to that next piece and then see what happens after that.
So you want to, you want to measure everything. And sales might not be your primary metric.
Right.
It might be add to cart. It might be fill out the opt-in form. It might be visits on checkout. You know, it might be some secondary metric. Then you can use your sales metric as your secondary metric. Right. So you can, we do that all the time. We'll just drive out add to carts or visits on checkout or something to get them further along in that journey. And the better you can do that, the better off it's going to be. In a funnel environment, most times it's a sales page issue. You're losing them, particularly in long form copy. And then the bigger levers to pull there are they forget to sell on the checkout page because it's a very simple transaction. It might be, I'm speaking from an info background. So if you're there, then it's going to be a very simple transaction. It's 30, 40, 50 bucks. It's $297 coming off a webinar. It's, whatever. And then from there, it's all about your upsell one, your downsell one to maximize your average order value. The rest of the upsells are just gravy. And if you can dial in those pieces, you're going to win.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody wanted to, is there any sort of software or tracking that you would recommend people to look into? Obviously, they can come and work with you and we'll sort of get to the best way for them to come and connect with you in a second. Is there in terms of like a heat mapping plugin or something that you would recommend for people to get started with some of this stuff?
I mean, really any heat mapping solution is good. True Conversion, Crazy Egg, Hotjar. Hotjar is our go-to. Split testing software, if you want something stupid simple just to test, headlines and things, just use Google Optimize. If you want to get more complex and into it, then use something like convert.com, which, you got to pay to play for that one. But that'll get you, that's where my dev team does all the heavy lifting and does all that fun stuff. But I don't like to overcomplicate it. I don't like to add any secondary, tracking to it. I just heat map, use your CRM, use Google Analytics, and good split testing software, and off to the races you go.
Yeah, good stuff. I'm sure it's some simple stuff so people can sort of start to look into some of this stuff and start to optimize their own stuff. But if they do want to go a bit further down the rabbit hole and start and talk to someone like yourself, or exactly yourself, where's the best place for people to hit you up?
It's on screen. So yeah, conversionfanatics.com is the best place to get us. I'd like to say we update our blog, but we don't. That would be a lie. We're so busy just doing what we do. But I'm pretty active on social. I'm reachable. So if anybody has questions, I'm happy to help. So onespotsocial.com/Justin Christensen is me. That gives my contact info. Just fire me an email. And perfect. I'm happy to help answer questions. I do this all day, every day. So any way that I can help give back to the marketplaces and what I've learned over the years, the better it's going to be.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for dropping by. It was super valuable. It's really, really critical stuff. And once you sort of get going with your business and you really want to get that optimization, make sure that everything is working as well as it can be. This stuff's really, really important. So appreciate you coming on and dropping some knowledge here today. If you do want to go check out Christian, go check out those links. I will drop all of those links in the show notes as always. Appreciate you being here, Christian. Thanks for taking the time out.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for everyone at home tuning in. Thanks for being here. We'll catch you on the next one. Cheers.